You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. Today, I have the pleasure of sharing with you a story about career change. This is actually really more like a series of dominoes of choices that led to career changes. My guest is Katie Kremitzos, and we talk about one big change, but also an education change and a few other changes that sort of all lined up and worked together to make all this possible. That's certainly enough vagary to get us started. So if you're ready to hear all the details, let's do it. Katie Kremitzos, welcome to Imperfect Adulting.
Amy Stone, thank you for having me here.
Are you ready for a fun chat?
Girl, let's do it. Bring it on.
All right. So before we get to the interesting stuff, I've got two easy warm-up questions because this is our first conversation. Share with the audience what part of the world you call home.
I'm in Tampa, Florida, not far from you, actually.
Not far from me at all. That's absolutely true. All right. So the next question, so that we can know more about you before we talk about the topic of the day, which is a career change, tell us as much or as little as you want about your family.
In my immediate family, I have an amazing husband, like my big fat Greek wedding husband. Like, that's where I got my Kremitzos name from. And then I have two daughters. I have a 9-year-old Sedona and a 6-year-old Savannah. So, and they both were named very specifically for like cities that we loved and names that were a little different. So it's a pretty fun family. And we have a lot of birds. Those are our pets. Like, we are a bird family. We've got lots of birds. My husband's obsessed with parrots, and therefore I became obsessed with parrots. So we've got these little birds chirping around the house. That's pretty
so
much
small
our family.
Parrots or big ones. Well, you have big ones? Do you have the big macaw type ones?
We have all of them. Our very first parrot we got when my husband and I first got together 15 years ago. And she's a small little sun conure that you could hold in your hand. But now we have sort of a variety of the sizes and breeds. Let's just say that.
Wow. That is very cool. That's a commitment. That's a commitment.
Best word. That's the best word for it. It is. But they're just such... Yeah, I'm just an animal lover, and so I feel like they're such beautiful souls, and you just realize, like, I think with any pet or any animal in general, like, once you start seeing them as these little souls, you're like, wow, like, they're so full of personality, they're so smart, they're so just beautiful. Like, Sammy, my little son conure, who is the first one that we got 15 years ago, like, she didn't, you know, we raised her from a baby, we didn't have any other birds at the time. So, you know, she thought she was human. So she goes in my shirt, she snuggles, she likes to lay in bed with me. Like, she just, you know, over the years, she's realized she's a bird, but they're just so magical. And it's always just such a great reminder, like, you know, that we're all just connected. So I love
that is very cool. Some of the big ones live like 80 years, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is a commitment. Okay. So most of the guests that I talk to on the show, I've never met or have any connection before the first conversation, but you have a very distinctive name. And so I recognized it right when it popped up, and you and I were in the same place and sort of met in 2020. Yes. And so I knew your kids were younger then. Mm-hmm. I like have viewed your family from a distance, but all I know really about our topic today is that you're going to talk to me about a major career change. And so let's do that, right?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So before we go into the weeds of what you did as an adult, I want to rewind the clock and ask you if you remember what you wanted to be when you were about 8 or 10 years old. Like, if when you were a kid and somebody said, what do you want to be when you grow up? What would you have said?
I would have said I wanted to be an architect.
An architect. Okay.
Yeah. I actually really loved, I mean, this is more in like young high school, so like teenage years, but I took like a drafting class, and I remember loving like designing a house. I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't do it technically right, but like I had a whole notebook of like little homes that I would design. And it just was very intriguing to me to like be creative and make a dome one, and let's put the pool in the middle of the house. Like, you know, like kid type stuff. But
yeah, yeah.
I Yeah, and I actually went to college my very first year. My major, I declared a major as architecture major. That didn't last
Okay.
long, but I did.
So that was going to be the follow-up question. Like, did you then like pursue that? And then, so you're in school and you're studying. And so what did you end up with, as a degree from school, or as a focus? Not even a degree,
Yeah.
but as a focus.
So my first year at Arizona State University, I sat down with the counselor and was like, I'm going to be an architect, take me through the curriculum for as an architect. And I was already in like drafting 101 or whatever the intro to architecture class
Sure.
was. Met still to this day one of my dearest friends, Melissa, and she and I were kind of doing it together. And I think like by the end of that year when I met with my counselor, she was like, okay, great. Here's the next 4 years of every single class that you need to take. And there was no wiggle room or very little wiggle
Right.
room for anything creative. And immediately, kind of the free spirit in me was like, no, that's not what I want. Like, that's not what my college is supposed to be. It's supposed to be me trying things and experimenting. And I want to take photography and I want to try this. And that didn't give me any room. So I immediately was like, nope, I'm not going to be an architecture major. And I kind of looked around and I was like, what can I do that allows me a lot more electives or that allows me a little bit
Okay.
of, And so she guided me to a communication degree and
Oh.
not, ironically, not a broadcast journalism type of a degree, but a degree in human communication. In at Arizona State, it's called the Hugh Downs School of Human Communication. So it's actually the study of how people communicate it in relationships, in groups, in work settings, how people communicate non-verbally, verbally. I always tell people it's the perfect thing to do if you're a people watcher and you really
Yeah.
like studying people.
That's
So.
amazing. I've never heard about it. So my degree is in mass communications, and
Okay.
then as an adult, I studied interpersonal communications for stuff like this because,
Yeah.
but I've never actually heard of that as a program, but it's maybe the most important thing that anybody should ever, like they should really kind of teach it to everybody because it's really interesting and it
Yeah.
makes everything. So much of what we do on a daily basis, no matter what you do, is actually communicating. And so then the joke as an adult is sometimes like, oh, well, nobody uses what they study in school. And
Yeah.
I'm always like, no, I use it every day because I
Every
learned how to
day.
research and write and craft a message. And you learned
And
about
have a
have
relationship,
a
have like
relationship. Yeah.
be able.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is that I actually got my undergrad at Arizona State and actually came to Florida. The reason I came to Florida is because I got a scholarship to go to University of South Florida for their communication department. And so I got one of the scholarship, like assistant professor program positions, and was like, yes, I'm going to be a professor. I'm going to get a PhD, and then I'm going to teach and impact. I had a minor in women's studies, and so that
Okay.
it the collision of those all or the mixture of that all was always very intriguing to me. So I was like, I'm going to change women, and I'm going to be a professor. Not change women, but like
I
have an
get it. I
impact, you
get
know what
it.
I mean?
Yes.
So at that, it didn't take me very long. It only took me a couple months in academia to realize that wasn't what I wanted to do. Like, didn't actually want that. And so I just sort of begrudgingly finished my degree. But if people were to ask me, like, what do you do with a communication degree? I would say, I don't know any, like, if you give me, when you become a nurse, when you have a nursing degree, it's like,
Right.
here, you could be a nurse, and here's all the ways you could be a nurse. Communication and even mass communication is
Yeah.
very vague in that regard.
Very
And
vague.
so
Yeah.
because I all of a sudden didn't want sort of the path that I thought that I wanted, it was sort of this, oh my gosh, I'm gazing out into this wide open nothingness of what's possible.
Yeah.
And the good and the bad about that is the good obviously is like you can create whatever you want because you're literally going to use this anywhere in management, in leadership, and team building, like in your ability to sort of work with people, right? Which is what everybody needs in every job or every relationship. But there's no definitive, like, here's a list of jobs that you could get with that. It was
Right.
absolutely not that. So it was post that
doesn't
graduate
fit
degree.
doesn't fit in the LinkedIn like
No.
box.
No, so it was at a very early age, kind of once I got out of and finished my master's degree, it was a really bumpy road to sort of like step into the professional world and sort of
Sure.
like, where do I fit here? What do I have a skill set doing and what do I like doing? And so that was pretty bumpy until I eventually ended up like quitting that world and being like, I'm gonna do something on my own.
So I'm so glad you said that because that's one of the threads that sort of pulls this podcast together and the underlying currents, which is I think that the experience of it being rocky is actually the experience that most people have, with the exception of the things that we all know, right? Like, so if you study nursing, you apply for nursing jobs. If you study dog watching, then you go for dog watching jobs. But I think that most of us have, if not right out of college, then 5 years down the line or 10 years down the line, we have the experience of, oh, what now? And we think that we've done something wrong, right? When, or we think that we're on a, we're off the path. Like people would say, oh, you're off track or you're not mainstream. And I just kind of think it's a misdirection. And maybe there was a time in the past where that wasn't true, but everybody I know has gone through that. I had the good fortune to graduate when the journalism industry was like not was tanking. And so like my path out of journalism school was full
Kind of
of people
forced.
saying, right. And also all the counselors were like, so these are the skills you have, and this is how you can use them in grad school or in your life. Like they mapped it out. All right. So fast forward to when we talk about making this change. I don't know if that's where we are now or if it was the future. What was your life like then, and what were you doing before you made the change that we're talking about today?
So, I mean, to be honest, talking about a career change, I feel like I've probably got a good 7 to 8 examples of those, but I'm going to take you to the most recent and prominent one. But let me give you a little bit of a backdrop so it all makes sense. I discussed sort of like bouncing around in co the corporate world. At some point in 2009, I quit the corporate world with very idealistic green thoughts of like, I'm gonna do things on my own, and I'm gonna be able to supplement my or replace my salary within like 3 months. So that didn't happen, and it was a very at
I don't
I
mean to
actually
laugh. I'm sorry, but
that no,
it
please. It's very relatable and very gullible. Like it's so I'm the eternal optimist, and I think that that actually works to my benefit because I'm the reason I quit my job. I think this is so important. The reason I quit my job, I was dating my now husband, and he had started a startup company. And I met him because I had written a book. You asked me what I really wanted to be. Like I've always had sort of the underlying desire to be a writer,
Okay.
but I was never brave enough to actually admit that to myself until my young 20s, when I was sort of bouncing around in corporate and like, let me write a book about how to find your true love because I was desperate to find my true love. So I wrote this book, needed to go out sort of on the business circuit in order to learn marketing and how to do it on my own. Meet my husband. He just started a business group. My then boyfriend. And then I was inspired enough and sort of like felt powerful enough to look at my corporate life and say, if I don't, I'm going to ask myself for 2 weeks straight, if I were to die next month, is this the work that I would want to be doing? And if
Oh
I
my
say no,
goodness, okay.
yeah. And if I say no every single day, I'm quitting the damn job now. And I said no for every day for 2 weeks. And so I quit. I put in my 2 week notice and I was done. And I just knew I was like, I'm going to figure this out. I don't know how. So I had a little few weeks of trying to like do the marketing of the book until I was like, the employee in me who is used to a full-time
Yeah.
check all of a sudden wasn't getting a full-time check. And I was like, panicked, like, okay, Chris, I'm going to help you with your business. You've kind of got a business model going already. And let me just help you because if we both put our energy there, we can really make it happen. So there was this season from 2009 until 2012, 2014, sorry, when he and I were doing that. And it was a big deal. I call it our peanut butter and jelly years because we were barely keeping the doors open of the business. It was a thriving business, but it was not paying for us. So it
Okay.
was sort of like, let's keep the doors open. Let's rack up as much credit card debt as we can and just like do something we love. And it taught me so much. It was like my education on entrepreneurship. So
Yeah.
fast forward 2014, I started a podcast called Biz Women Rock. That was a business, a women's entrepreneur show, where I was doing interviews like these with
Yep.
women like yourself who own their own companies, and it was amazing. I fell in love with the podcasting world, but that's not even really. So that's the backdrop. I was in Biz Women Rock. I had my first kid, figured out the mompreneur thing. There's a lot of detail I'm missing here, but that gets me to this point in 2018. Where the business finally is sort of chugging along and moving. I've hit my first, six-figure year. I'm feeling really good about myself. I'm feeling super inspired and like, I know how to triple this. Like, let's do
Right.
this. Like, super ready to go. So, I make my plan in January. By April, I'm like, we closed Q1. We're on target. Let's go. I'm ready to launch all these things. And then we find out we're pregnant with my second daughter.
Okay.
And immediately I just hear the whisper, "You're done. You're done with this."
Okay.
And I was like, "Ugh." Because when we hear that intuition and it's not what we expect,
Right.
we have two choices. We can either keep going in what I now know would be like the old version of you,
Yeah.
or you can actually listen to that whisper and you could say, "Okay, my intuition is always right. Okay, let me look you in the eye. Where are we going?" And I chose the latter. And so I was like, "Okay, what are we doing?" And so I took a lot of time by myself. I kind of pressed pause on everything I was about to launch. I kind of like kept low key. I just kind of did the bare minimum working with the clients that I had, kept the podcast going. And I went on walks with my husband every day. And I was like, "What do I do? What do I do?" And one day I would spout out like, "Oh my God, I could totally do this with two kids, like a toddler and an infant. I'm gonna stay in this business. I'm gonna
Yeah.
blow it up. It's gonna be amazing." And then the next day I'd be in tears, be like, "I'm done with owning a business. I'm gonna be a stay-at-home mom. Like that's what it's gonna be."
Those are
So I
the
was
only options,
only
one
options, of
or
course.
the other.
So I vast for what amounted to a few weeks. I every day we'd walk and I would just he would let me talk. He would let me talk. He would let me vent. He would let me vent. One day in May, so a couple of weeks after all this is going down, I'm done kind of vomiting my thoughts and emotions. And in the silence, he looks at me and he says, "What about that meditation idea?" So what he was referring to was when I had made this big plan for 2018, one
Yep.
of the like off ideas that I had was creating a meditation podcast for women. You know, I was into meditation. I used it with a lot of my clients. I gave it as a tool to a lot of my clients. I wouldn't consider myself a meditation expert, but I was like, that would be cool, right?
Yeah.
Never did anything with it because it didn't really fit with what I was doing. So now here he was going, "What about that meditation idea?" And I said, "What about it?" And he said, "What about it?" And
Yeah.
that was the opening. That was the opening for us to, I mean, within an hour, like we were just brainstorming about what it could be. What would this be? What would I do? How would I choose to put it out there into the world? Why would I want to do this? And within, like I said, very quickly, I just got really clear. It'd be called the Women's Meditation Network. It would be more than one show. It's a whole network. I knew enough at the time. I had done my research at the time, being a smart podcaster of like, you know, months prior, like when I type in meditation and women into Apple, what do you see? I saw one podcast, one.
Right.
And I was like, "You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe the space is open." And so I just, it all sort of converged in that moment of me knowing, like having a deep knowing, I have something to share and contribute to the space that is wide open. And I know that at least 50% of the people searching for meditations are women. And I know if I put the, if I know if they could see themselves in my logo and in my title, I know they'll click on me and give me a chance. And I know I have something
Interesting.
really beautiful to share with them. And my approach to meditations, back then and even now, and in a more mature way, has always been as a writer. So I've always put the script first. I have always sat down and written scripts that are sort of a message that I want to be able to share with the subconscious, with the soul of the woman listening. Sometimes they're your typical, you know, body relaxation meditations, and they're
Yep.
very practical meditations. But a lot of times they're very much these emotional, let me talk to you in that moment of fear. Let me talk to you in that moment of feeling boxed in. Let me talk to you in that moment of overwhelm. Let me say something to you that is sort of packaged in with music and with sound effects and with this emotional cadence that's really going to hit your soul. So, you know, I started that right away. Within a few weeks of that conversation with my husband, I had my very first podcast live called Meditation for Women. And it was terrifying because I had an enormous amount of imposter syndrome. Like, no one knows me for meditation.
Right.
No one even knows I meditate. Like, no one knows this about me. They know me as a businesswoman. So how am I going to shift into this brand? So I just, as a businesswoman, I like leverage the hell out of my current community at that
Yeah.
time, you know, really tried to get everyone over as I could to just try me out. And then it got legs. And within 3 months, it was getting more downloads on a monthly basis than my 6-year-old podcast at the time. Like it was,
Oh,
I was
so
like,
immediate
okay.
validation. All right, so we
Immediate
went
validation.
through We went through like a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
I want to back up. One of the things I think is really interesting is it's like you mentioned that you had a business podcast and a business personality and I mean like sort of a persona, a frontward facing persona as a business coach with a business podcast, but you had this sort of other piece of you that was doing meditation and you didn't let people see it and you didn't show people that. And I think that's really interesting because I think that's very similar to the sort of conversation you were having with yourself, like where you were battling between I'm going to keep the business going with two or 50 kids, or I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom, because those are the choices that were shown, right? It's like you're a business
Right.
person or you're woo, you're a mom or you're in business, right?
Right.
Like either of those things. And I think that we give each other, ourselves and other people, a hard time still to this day when we come up against those choices. Like, you know, can I straddle both of these things?
Yeah, and I think the answer to that is unabashedly being myself and being ourselves, because I have almost the opposite right now, where everyone thinks I'm like super woo-woo. Like now I'm known for meditation. So the fact that I actually have a really wise business brain and can speak about business and entrepreneurship in a pretty advanced way, people are surprised by that. So they're like, in the beginning of the brand actually really growing and getting legs, I saw a distinct difference. Like people sort of were taken aback by me sometimes because I would sort of lead with like, okay, this is how I'm going to grow the business. Like I'm very, very business brain with this company. And so I run it not, I kind of run it with a beautiful combination as a creator and a businesswoman, where, and that's worked to my advantage because so many people in my space are the total creative, and that's awesome, but it is not, they haven't yet developed sort of the business part, you know what I mean? And so they're wonder they're I've gotten a little bit of like, how are you doing that? And I'm like, oh, I mean, okay, step one to step two, step three, right? And because it because I wanted that, that's how I wanted to approach it. I wanted to approach it as a very business centric desire to like express and grow, you know?
And I think that so the word I usually use for that these days is authentic. You're being authentic to yourself, all the different parts of you. And anytime we change, right? Anytime we change from one silo to the other, it does get confusing. So like when you shift from being a professional to pushing a stroller with a baby, and people like then immediately are like, oh, well, all you know about is diapers then. And you know, and you're like, no, actually, I had a brain before I had this little human. I can But I do have this experience. So, but yeah, I think it can be scary to do that. But I think most people do go through that. So you shift from being a person who's hosting a business podcast and doing business coaching, but already an entrepreneur, to starting the Women's Meditation Network, which is not just one show, but it's a group of shows. So you have a lot of information about, I mean, people are listening to this on a podcast, they may know, but explain the difference between a podcast, like a network, and just a singular show.
The most simple explanation is literally that I have like the network itself, the name of the network is the umbrella for 20 different podcasts that we have. So each podcast has a name and it's part of the larger network, right? So I have sleep meditation for women, morning meditation for women, affirmations for women, sleep stories. Like these are just example meditation for kids, sleep meditation for kids, and they're all a part of the Women's Meditation Network. So it's really just making sure, from sort of a visual standpoint, it's just making sure that the podcasts I have individually all align with sort of the larger brand, which is why for example, like I had the last five shows that I launched were all meditation for kids, and I deliberately launched them under the Women's Meditation Network because it's moms typically who are looking for podcasts for their kids, right? So I knew that that was in line and that I wanted to be able to reach be there when a mom was searching for a meditation for her kids.
That's so good. I also think that audio podcasting, is uniquely perfect for guided meditations, because different from It's like YouTube. Like if you are going to try and listen to it on YouTube, you can't do anything else. You have to unless you pay for the YouTube upgrade, right? And you can have ads that pop in and all kind of stuff like that. But podcasting with the headphones on is very personal and private, and it delivers it into the whole, nobody knows what you're doing. You know, you can be standing in the grocery store or in a PTA meeting listening to the podcast, meditation. I know 100%. So a lot of the things that I thought I was going to ask you about follow-up, you like totally just went through them. Like you shared where the name, where the idea came from. You were very clear on the name, from the get-go. You know why you were changing, which was a change in your family situation and a disconnect between your job. You didn't think about it all that long before you pulled the plug, which I will say that goes under the category of the confidence of a serial engineer, a serial entrepreneur. It's like not working, working. And then you talked about some of the concerns that you had that people were not familiar with what you would look at. What else were you concerned about when you were thinking of making this change, if you can remember?
Oh, I remember perfectly. I think ever since I've become a mom, I've always been concerned with how am I managing the amount of time I'm spending with my kids versus how am I managing the time I'm spending on my work. Both are very important to me. I love what I do. It's part of my self-expression. It feels very much like I have to do this, right? But I always want to be very self-aware of that because I don't want to get too far in any one direction or any, you know. And so, so what I was worried about was, at the time I launched it, I knew that I couldn't just stop my other business. I was still, so there was, the not so pretty part I'm kind of glossing over is that there was about a year and a half from when I launched the first podcast, Meditation for Women, to when I then had, like, I immediately had two podcasts slash two businesses. I qu pretty quickly had now two kids. And then, so there was like this year and a half time period where I was still managing not only operationally, but emotionally what I was doing with the other business and what I was doing with the new business, what I was doing with the new kids. Like I was, there was all of that. So there was like this year and a half where I was just, I can look back now and see it, but I was figuring it out every step of the way where I was just sort of like slowly stepping down my attention and my offerings for my business. I was trying to do that in a way that still could provide for our family for a certain amount of time, because then I knew like this is a startup, like it ain't making money right now, and it's not going to make money for a little while. So I was trying to like practically but also very spiritually kind of create the path as I was walking of what this might be. And so I have to say that I kept really in tune with myself, with how I felt about the business podcast and that business. I was still offering one-on-one coaching. I sort of pulled the plug on all my masterminds, all the other things that I was doing, and just solely focused just on the one-on-one clients, because that's what I really love and that's what gave me the biggest profit margin. And then I just was like, okay, everything else I can put on the business, but here I am with a 2-month-old and, a 3-year-old. So what, how am I making sure this happens in a way? So it's, then it became the practical. Every mom out there can, nod with me on this. The very practical, like I call it my mompreneur mission statement. How much am I, like, what are my values in order and how do they show up on my calendar?
And how can I do
So,
this in 15-minute blocks if I've got a 2-month-old?
well, yes and no. Like it's so funny you say that. I actually don't work well that way at all. I am not a good micromanager, like, or what do you call it? I don't do well with multiple things at once. And so like I need to work on one thing with focused time and attention. And I thank God I know that about myself, because if I so like it for me, it wasn't how can I have the baby and on me while I'm working. Like for the most part, there's some exceptions to that, but for the most part, that doesn't work for me. So it had to be, how can I have kid-free time to be able to do the things that I want to do and to be able to do them very efficiently? I think if anything, I'm kind of a obsessed with energy management and time management, both at the same time, so that I could get a lot done, the most important things done in a short amount of time. And then how can I, when I'm with my kids, I'm not checking my phone, I'm not checking my email, I'm not trying to do all the other things. I'm fully with them. And I'm not perfect at that, but I think I'm pretty damn good, because because I know that about myself and my personality. I'm not knocking it with anyone else because
Right.
everyone else has their own personalities and how they work, but I'm somebody who gets very overwhelmed very fast if I have too many things and my energy feels split. So like I feel like that was something I established very early on and that I was constantly sort of working through in those early years and still constantly sort of like
Yeah.
always rearranging and you know kind of like reassessing that mompreneur equation, you know.
And I think that for me, the piece about knowing yourself really, really is important there because I don't know if I'm similar to you or it's slightly different. I am a person that I, when I'm doing something, I'm doing that thing and I forget about all of the other stuff. So I have to plan accordingly, right? I plan, I cannot like make a write an email and make cookies at the same time. It's like I have to separate them. And so that drove like my decisions when my kids were young because I didn't want to be, I knew that about myself and I didn't want to look back and be like, oh, I shortchanged everything by not doing this. So as a result, when people say, hey, well, do you batch products? And I'm like, batch projects? And I'm like, sure, if that means I do one thing and when it's done, then I stop and I do the next thing, we can call that batching, but do I do 54 emails in a row? No, that doesn't work for me. Like, you know, like that's the so I, but I know that other people are totally different.
Yeah, so
Totally
like
different.
I'm actually an energy batcher, meaning like, for example, I record a crap ton of meditations, right? Like we with
Yeah, I
20
was gonna say,
shows.
so all of these are yours. You
Yes,
write them
they
and record them. Okay.
no. So let me be
Okay.
clear. So I write actually, you know, 6.5 years into it, I actually only write for a few shows. And I'm recording for that show, but so I have other writers, but oftentimes I'm the voice for what they're writing. And then
Okay.
I do have shows where I have other writers, other guides. And so we kind of have it's a giant
All the
mix, right?
things. Okay.
But I'm still recording a lot of meditations. And so, but when I sit down to record a meditation, like I'm like, how many hours do I have? Like in my head, I'm like, okay, I've got 2 hours. I'm gonna sit and record as many as I can. I will bust
Okay.
out because I'm in the energy of recording. And you know, if I sit to do emails, I'm in the energy
Yeah.
of checking those things off the list. So I will stay with that one task because
Okay,
I'm
so
in the
yeah.
energy of that task,
So
you
we
know?
are different because I'm very different. So like I will like do one thing and then I need like a break and I have to retool for the other thing. So if I write one email and then go to write another email, I'm actually still writing the first email and I have to know
Oh,
that
that's
about
so funny.
myself and I have to
Se
like split, I
separate.
have to write exactly. I have to like get up
Yeah.
and go get a glass of water or I just write two of the same email, which is ridiculous. So all right, so you talked about you have a very entrepreneurial family. Your husband also has a business. It is apparent in this story that he was supportive of this change from the get-go. And so what were there any surprises along the time? Like when you look back, so you had a lot of support, which I think is really a phenomenal and amazing. But were there any surprises about like support that you needed or that you wished you'd had as you were going through this change that might be helpful for other people as they're trying to design this in their
Yes.
life?
Yes, this is such a great question. I'm so glad you asked this. So it's worth noting, I don't come from an entrepreneurial family at all. I come from a lower middle class blue collar family. And so the idea of me quitting my job freaked them the hell out. So, and everyone blamed it on my boyfriend at the time. Like, he's a bad influence, right? But my husband has been an entrepreneur since he's been in diapers. So he's used to the highs and the lows. He's I think one vital thing to really own and to embody as an entrepreneur is a money mind. It's a really positive money mindset, healthy money mindset, and just an overall like value
Yeah.
mindset, value. So that's we could unpack that for days, but like really what it is, I had such a hard time at the beginning coming out of an employee mindset of getting paid every
Yeah.
2 weeks and into this like, oh shit, I gotta make my own money, right? Even though mentally I understood that, it took me years to really get it. And because I'm such a financially obsessed person, I'm the financial manager, I'm the CFO of our lives, right? I love numbers, I love moving numbers, I love managing the money. Because in the early years I saw that I would just be looking at how much runway we have.
Yeah.
We have 2 more months until we can't pay the mortgage anymore. Okay,
Yeah.
what are we doing, right? My husband never looked at that stuff because he already got Like he already got, like you don't look at the runway. You shift your energy into how we can produce more. How can we provide more value so more people want to pay us, right? So it took me a long time to learn that lesson, but I'm saying this because while my family, who I'm very close with, they could not understand, but they absolutely would cheer me on in the ways that they could. They still probably don't really understand what the hell I do. Like it's still really a weird thing that I do. But they cheer me on, and in the early years especially, it would be like, you know, my mom would send me like, oh hey, oh I'm just gonna send you like the Southwest gift card, come home for Christmas, you know, like they it was I so much love, so much like, let me just pay for this, let me just do this, because they just knew we had absolutely no money. And then but in that time, my husband has been my rock, and my bit and continues to be my biggest supporter. And so when I dove into the entrepreneur world, he already was 20 plus years into, I know how this game works. He hadn't yet, you know, he was still on his own path of mastery. But, and so there were so many ways that my ego felt so much less than for in compared to him. There was a huge power dynamic that we really had to work through as a couple, because we were doing the same business in the beginning. So it was this like, oh no, you know better. Even though maybe my intuition would be like, oh, actually we should do this. Or I'd have the confidence to be like, I think we should do XYZ. And he'd be like, oh, okay. Like I had to build that muscle. So there's so many examples, and we've had such an evolution, but it has taken, he continues to be the one who will cheer me on no matter what. He simultaneously is also one of my biggest critics, but in a very, I think in a very healthy way that forces me to either stand up to him and say, actually, no, I know what I'm doing, or forces me to actually look inside and be like, you know what? Yeah, he's right, even though I don't want to admit it or see it, because he can see me, that he's the closest one to me. So I am so lucky in that. And I think the biggest piece of support that I have ever gotten from him and will continue to get from him is, everything's gonna be okay. Because I can be high stress. I can be like, I wanna control things. I wanna have like, you know, what I call ROI, regularity of income. You know,
I
like,
like that. I like that.
where my husband is very much this kind of like the startup entrepreneur who's used to the highs and lows. And so he's always the one to sort of wrap his arms around me, and he's like, this is all a game. Let's just make sure we're having fun. You know, he will always do that. And I really want to tell this story because it's so beautiful emotionally about him. When I was making this transition from Biz Women to Rock, the business podcasting company, to Women's Meditation Network, because we're both entrepreneurs, we sort of have always, like, sometimes I'm the breadwinner while he's starting things up, and sometimes he's the breadwinner while I'm starting things up, right? So I'm about a year into the Women's Meditation Network. Mind you, I'm still kind of at the tail end of like letting go of Biz Women Rock. Biz Women Rock's revenues are going down, 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 down. And there's a moment at which, even though we sort of talked this out, there's a moment at which I have to say, okay, I can't pay anything next month. Like, I'm done. Are you ready? And we had agreed on that. And I remember what that month passed. And it was the first month where he would be like fully in charge financially. And I still remember this. We were in a hotel room and I just bawled. And he's like, what's wrong? And I was like, I'm having an identity crisis. I've never in my life had anyone pay for me. Like, I have always been a very financially independent person. And I just sort of, I knew what it was. And so I'm talking that through with him. And he looked at me, he said, Katie, if it's that important for you to pay for your own things, then go back to business coaching. But I don't think that's what you really want. I think what you really want is to keep riding this wave of something you'd love to do. So trust me, I've got it. Go. And I still get goosebumps talking about that, because I know so many people out there who don't have that support intimately. And here I am, I feel what that feels like. And it's the mo like I could completely blow up and nosedive into quote unquote failure, and I know he's there, and I know he's cheering me on, you know. So it's
I
really
think that's
special.
special, actually. I think very few people have that level of support in their support networks. And I think so. I do think I agree that's special. The other thing, having talked to a bazillion moms, that moment of, is it safe for me to depend on somebody else? That scares the crap out of a lot of people. And it's something that we do ourselves a favor. I mean, you came from women's studies, we do ourselves a favor to talk about that story over and over again and remind people that, you know, that is a moment. It's a very vulnerable moment for people with families. And it's you got to have that conversation and move forward and believe that it is going to be okay. You're going to figure it out. You may not know what it's going to look like, but you're going to figure it out. All right. So very good. Okay. So in a minute, we'll do the final fun questions, but tell people how they can find you and all these wonderful meditations and all the things.
Yeah, so whatever podcast app you're listening to this episode on, go search for Women's Meditation Network. You will see all of our shows there. That's a variety that, you know, the branding is pretty similar on point for most of them, so it'll be obvious which are ours, or Meditation for Women. Many of our shows have that in their title. And just go listen or go to womensmeditationnetwork.com. You'll see all of our shows there. And we deliberately pump out hundreds of meditations every single month across the entire network, because I want you to feel like you could go at any given moment, no matter what season of life you're in, no matter what kind of emotional state you're in, mental state you're in, and you can find something that really matches with what it is you need to hear and the experience you need to have, whether that's a sleep meditation to help you finally let your brain stop and go to sleep and get the sleep you need, or whether that's like, you know, the meditation of, you know, when you're overwhelmed and overstimulated and you need that meditation right now, you know,
Right now.
right now. Or I have one from the early years called Mommy Needs a Time Out. It's a very good meditation. So yeah, I've deliberately
You're putting
named
your kids in timeout and you're like, sorry, we're going to trade. You can stay here with the blocks. Mommy's going to
I and I mean I've done that many times, like Mommy Needs a Time Out right now and you guys staying out here. So, you know, that's where you can where you can access all these meditations, and they're there completely free for you to use anytime you want to use them.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Okay, so now we're going to end. We're going to wrap up with three questions. They're supposed to be rapid fire. The idea is to answer with just a couple words. Full disclosure, it never actually works like that, but we go with it anyway. Okay,
Let's
so
see. Let's see what I can do.
I'm the problem. I admit it. Okay, so do you have a favorite movie? And if you do, are you willing to share with us what it is?
Oh my gosh. I mean, the first one that came to mind was Shawshank Redemption. That's from a
Okay.
long time ago.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. I mean,
It's a
there's
good movie.
probably a gazillion others that I could name. I'm gonna say Bluey, even though that's not a movie, because I am in love with that entire show, writers, everything. I
Okay.
love that show.
Very good. All right, very good. Okay, so now this one, I know you're heavy into meditation, so this may or not be a perfect question, but what is a favorite thing you do for self-care? Like for yourself? Not that you would tell other people to do, but for self-care.
Yeah, I get outside a lot. I'm in
Okay.
nature. We deliberately moved to a home that has space and nature, and I'm outside a lot. I spend a lot of time either barefoot in the grass or just outside, especially when my brain starts going.
In
So,
the Florida grass full of fire ants, you're barefoot. I'm never barefoot in the, I'm barefoot in
gotta
the
be brave.
sand.
Gotta be brave. Yes, I love it. Or I wear my, you know, I have muck boots to take me around the
Okay.
property. So yes, I love being outside. I will do anything. I work outside. I do anything and everything I can do to be outside.
When I many years ago, I had people in from out of town, and they were looking at my yard. They live up north, and they looked down at my grass, and they were like, "I think I just pulled this up out of my yard as weeds." And I was like, "That's true. What we call grass in Florida is what you call crab grass everywhere else." But yes, this is what we do. We call it Bermuda grass. All right, so this is a weird one, but I think that we can divide the world into two groups of people. Don't panic. This is not a political question, I promise.
Oh, great. Oh,
People who have a go-to karaoke song on demand, ready to go, and people who do not have a go-to karaoke song. And so the question is, are you a person with a karaoke song or not?
Without, I'm terrified of karaoke.
Me too. I don't
Even though
have one.
I can sing, but I'm terrified of karaoke.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, that's it, Katie Kremitzos. Thank you for being a wonderful guest today on Imperfect Building.
Amy, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community.
You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.